All right. We'll turn that off before moving it. All right, Book of Revelation. Let's look again at Revelation chapter 1. I love reading this. Revelation chapter 1. A number of years ago, my wife and I, of course, were full-time on the road. We were holding meetings in the very mountainous area of Utah. Met a pastor by the name of Franklin, and he designed and worked on a series of pictures to illustrate scripture to help people that do not know how to read or have dyslexia able to look at that picture and get a really good idea of what's taking place in the chapter. And so it's a great help. And so I've been using those pictures in our study as well as making my own charts and working some things up. I had a professor at Faith Baptist Bible College. His professor, Dr. Kober, and he made a lot of charts. So I just looked at those charts, kind of observed them, and realized, hey, you know, it's kind of hard to take a picture of it and then add my own stuff to it. And so I just decided to look at the pictures and all the graphs and everything and make my own. And that's what that picture, the graph is that I passed out to you. So we're going to look at it here today, try to get caught up to where we are. Here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the Word of God says this, the revelation of Jesus Christ being revealed, written by the Apostle John. God used John as the human author, and of course the Word of God is inspired, as we can see in the picture a second here, which God gave unto him to show unto us servants things which must shortly come to pass, shortly, quickly, at any time now, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I like to repeat the fact that the book of Revelation is the only book that promises you a blessing for reading it. So blessed is those who read this and understand it and believe it. I shared with you that I had opportunities to witness to different people that said, well, the book of Revelation really is not inspired. The book of Revelation is just kind of a fairy tale. And the only purpose for the book of Revelation is to share with us that there's a battle that takes place between God and Satan. That's the only reason. There's no details to understand. It's just a story of once upon the time. But no, I believe that Book of Revelation is the inspired Word of God, and that we can learn some details. In fact, as you look at the order and the sequence of taking place in the Book of Revelation, you can clearly see the pre-trib rapture and how God is going to be working with the world today. So I have on here, on our chart, very quickly here, kind of give us an idea of where we are. Of course, the rapture taking place right here. You got the church age, and the rapture is going to occur for us. Christ is returning, coming back for us, and we're going to meet him in the air. That's everyone during the church age, whether they are passed away in the past, they'll be resurrected from the grave. Now, the Old Testament saints will still stay in the grave until, right here, until the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ. Old Testament saints will be resurrected here. But New Testament saints, the church age saints, those who have passed away, those here still on earth, will be raptured out and taken up to be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. I heard an evangelist once say, he said, you know, I hope to be here for the rapture. Because at the rapture, I want to grab one unsaved person with my right hand and one unsaved person with my left hand. And halfway up, I'm going to look at them and say, do you believe now or should I let go? That's the rapture. And we'll see as God works all these details out for his honor and for his glory. And then, of course, with us, he's going to return with us. We're going to be there in heaven with him during the, first of all, the judgment seat of Christ. And a lot of times when we think of judgment, we think that God's going to judge us and reveal to everybody in the whole world all the wickedness and sin that we committed. But no, judgment, it comes from the word bema seat, which means a place of rewards. We're not going to go through a time when God's going to reveal all those things before all men. It's going to be a time of rewards. And I think those tears that will be shed is because of the rewards that we missed out on that we could have received. And so that's the judgment seat of Christ. And then, of course, the marriage supper, or excuse me, the marriage is going to take place, and we're going to return with Christ. And at this time, we'll have the marriage supper of the Lamb right here at the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ. So that's a little bit there. And, of course, I got all these things all filled out, the apostasy, the church going through apostasy, turning from the Lord. And certainly you see that in the world today. And then, of course, the rapture of the church, the translation of the living saints, as well as the resurrection of the church age saints. So we'll go ahead and skip out of there because we're going to quickly go on. To our first picture. Here we have at the beginning, and the Lord Jesus Christ, a sword coming from his mouth, eyes of flames, white hair, and of course his hand holding the hand of John as he reveals the book of Revelation to us, walking amongst the seven churches, candlesticks. We got the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end, everything in between, the seven pastors that are there, as well as the coastline taken a look at where all the churches are, as well as Laodicea at the end. And that's Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 2, or excuse me, the seven churches are not pictured in these pictures at all because of the time, and there's already 21 pictures, so he stopped at just one, the church of Laodicea, and of course the seventh candle just got smoke coming up because they're neither hot nor cold. It's not hot enough to have a flame, and it's not cold enough for the smoke to stop. They are just lukewarm, and of course Jesus standing at the door knocking, and they're not letting him in. There's no way for him, there's no knob here for him to open the door, so he has to wait for somebody from the inside. Of course, we have a man up here that is looking over the wall, and that's quite an insult. Just to look at him and say, you know, have you ever knocked on someone's door to give them a tract or witness to them, and they move the curtain to the side, and they never open the door? Yes, yep. But they're not insulting us. They're insulting the Savior and the truth of his word. So we got this insult up here. He's got lots of money in his hand, but yet he's partially blind. We have a family here fighting and all the arguments. Of course, the family is at attack today as they tried to destroy the family through homosexuality and breaking families up and all the sin that's involved and the wall that's cracked here in reference to the families being destroyed. This man's totally blind, naked, and asking for alms, for money. And what a picture of the church of Laodicea. They have eye salve for the physical eyes, but spiritual eyes are just as blind as can be and not interested in the things of God. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of this chapter says, I will build my church. And there's the stone of him building his church. And that's exactly what he did. Then we have a view of the rapture from heaven. And up here, you got the trumpet sound. And this is God's view. Our view is going to come a little bit later. But here's God's view of the rapture and all the saints coming and coming up. And then, of course, he's got the scroll in his hand with the seven seals and all those sitting there with crowns on his head. And then, of course, you see the four beasts in reference to Revelation chapter 2. These four beasts, of course, you got the ox, which or the lamb. You got the lion. And you got the man with all the eyes around his head, and then the eagle. And of course, as you look at that, Matthew, the book of Matthew, refers to Jesus Christ as king. He's going to rule and reign. And then Mark refers to Jesus as a servant, the lamb. And then you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John, you have him as a man. And then John, you have him as deity. And those all reference to the beasts that are there on that picture. And then you got the six seals that are broken. And you can see the four horsemen. You got the Antichrist coming on the white horse here, pale horse. And he has a bow in his hand, but no arrows. It's all mental as he takes over the world. And then, of course, you've got war here with a sword. And the battle's going on there. And you got the beginning, the first war of the battle of Gog and Magog. You've got up here a man on a horse with the scales in reference to famine and destruction that's going to take place. And then you've got this horse right here that's all white, almost looks like a corpse, and referring to death. And then you got the saints up here, woe, how long below the altar. And then up here, the next seal, you have the moon and sun and stars falling, and the moon turning blood, and parts of the sun. And here you got the saints sitting before the Lord, 144,000 that receive him. And then, of course, a period of silence. And then you got the feet here made of, you know, the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, gold, silver, bronze, iron, and clay. You got the feet of iron and clay representing the 10 nations that are going to rule the world at that time. And this one here is the trumpets, the seven trumpets. You got them all up here. You got the hail, fire, and the fire from the mountain turning the third of the oceans to blood. And here, a third of the fresh water to blood on the third trumpet. And then the falling of the stars and the sun turning third of the star of the sun turns dark and the moon. And then up here, you got the beast coming, the head of the hair of a woman and the face of a man, hoofs of a horse, and then the tail of scorpions that are going to sting all those who do not have the seal of God upon them. Not the mark of the beast, but the seal of God is upon them, and so he does not sting those. Then we have the four angels, the chains falling off, and then the two witnesses and John. He's eaten the scroll that goes in very sweet, but comes out very bitter. And then, of course, the angel of the Lord has that measuring rod to measure. And then the last woe, there's three woes, 1, 2, 3. The last woe, of course, Satan is shaking his fist at God as the angels up here proclaim that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. He's going to rule and reign. And Antichrist in his last trump card, he shakes his fist at God, and you can see the trump card in his sleeve right there representing his foolishness and how he one day is going to fall. Then chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12, you have the woman standing on the moon and ready to give birth to the Son of God, dealing with Israel. The woman is a reference or a picture of Israel and how Israel was going to bear and bring the Son of God. And here's Satan right here. He is looking over, waiting to devour the child after he's born. And we know that in the story of Bethlehem of Judea, you have Herod trying to kill the king and killing all the baby boys at that time. And then, of course, Mary and Joseph and Jesus runs off to Egypt. And you have the I wills of Satan in his pride saying, I'm going to be like the Most High. And then we have the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on his throne. And then he rushes off to heaven where he's sitting on the right hand of the Father on high. And then, of course, the Israel is running through all the skulls and bones referring to there. And then the stars, third of the stars that fell in reference to the third of the angels that follow Satan to defeat the Son of God. And here we have Satan being cast down in chapter 12. He's being cast down to the earth here. And referring to the Lord Jesus Christ being the Lamb of God, the one who died for the sins of the world, and all these thirds of angels that are falling as well, being cast down to the earth. And Satan now knows his time is limited, is coming to a quick close. And then here we have I hit the right one. There's the 10 toes, the 10 nations are ruling the world, and Satan is there mingled around them and trying to lead, and he's got, it shows here a flood of water coming to destroy Israel, but the earth swallows it up as Israel rushes off into the mountains to Ammon, which is Ammon, Jordan, and in that area, I believe that Israel's going to run to Petra at that time, and there's Israel running for their lives. And God is going to protect them, not only protect them, but also feed them, just like he did during the days of their wilderness wandering. All right. And that's where we are. Now, Revelation chapter 13. beautiful pictures that kind of give people an idea. Just looking at it can read it and understand it and to see what Scripture has to say. So, chapter 12 focuses on the activity of Satan. Chapter 13 focuses on the activity of Antichrist, and that's where we're looking right now. And then chapter 14 is focusing on Jesus Christ. These three chapters from a parentheses between the last trumpet and the vials or bowls that are next. So we want to look at chapter 13, and this is the Word of God as we read it. Let me point out a few things here. This is Antichrist with the 666. We've got Satan up here, the dragon, and you see all the wires and lines because Satan is moving them around like a puppet, and he's organizing it all. Then we have the false prophet here, and then this is a picture of the fact that Antichrist is going to be like a tiger, ripping things apart and destroying things. And then, of course, we have the 6-7. Seven kings ruling the world, 8, 9, 10. Three of them are the little horns in reference that Satan will destroy and overthrow. And so seven of them are going to remain. And we can also see the 666 on the back of his throne here, representing the 666 here as well. And 666 on his forehead, claws like a lion or a leopard. And Satan is just moving this all around and keeping it under control. So we want to look at verse 13. It says this, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." This is Antichrist coming from the sea. Some scholars believe when it says coming from the sea, he's going to be a Jew. "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And so you got three that were trying to make war, but he overcame them. So you got the seven. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things, and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain for the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." Yeah. I see. Oh, those are just thrones or crowns. I think it's the next. We'll look at the next picture here. "Seeth them that dwell in the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do." Verse 15, "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." So he's going to destroy anyone who tries to stop his one world government. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 600, 66. So a score is 20. 3 times 2 is 6. So 3 or 6, 6, 6. And that is chapter 13. Let me look here. I'm thinking that the next picture is chapter 14. Let's look. Oop. Get all this organized here. So that's chapter 13, 1 through 18. Then the next picture is chapter 14. Yes. 1 through 18. Oop. There we go. So you can see all the 666, the tiger that's there to destroy, and oh, here's the fire coming down right there. Oh, that's that's the fire coming down out of, yep, and then the paw 666, and you got the six, or the seven kings, the puppet, yep, those crowns, a sword, and here's the false prophet doing the victory sign. Hey, we're going to win. We're going to be victorious. We're going to get it. Even though Christ is going to win and going to be victorious, the false prophet, and then Satan, the Antichrist. And now the next one, chapter 14. So the first one is referring to Satan. The chapter 13 is focusing, of course, on the Antichrist. And then chapter 14 is focusing on Christ, the Savior, and what he's going to do. And this is all a parenthesis between the seven trumpets and the seven vials or the seven bowls. And so I always call them vials because that makes it then alphabetical so I can remember it. So you have the seals first, then you have the trumpet second, because ST, and then if you say bowls, well, that just messes it all up. So if you call it vials, then it's all alphabetical, and it's easier to remember. So let's go ahead and look at the next picture. And this is of Christ, the Lamb of God. And we can notice here, we got the Jesus holding the Lamb of God that dies for the sins of the world. You got the wheat and the tares and everlasting gospel that's being proclaimed. You got the sickle here as the Lord, he then harvests between the wheat and the tares. And we got fire over here. There's a number of things here that we can look at and see. The measuring rod, here he is, he's measuring. That's referred to in chapter 14. So let's look at the Lamb of God. Let's look at what Jesus is going to do in Revelation chapter 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood in the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. So you got the 144,000 with the father's name written in their foreheads. 144,000, that's probably these right here. Because remember, the beast that comes out of the pit, he torments those that do not have the mark of the Father on their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. So here Satan is ruling in the earth. We see the destruction coming from heaven, and seeing Satan and how he's ruling, and he defeats the three nations. But yet in the midst of all that, the gospel is proclaimed and shares with 144,000 their need of a Savior. We have, as I pointed before, the everlasting gospel, the angel coming, proclaiming the word of God and proclaiming the gospel and the hope that they have in Christ, and that Satan's soon going to fall, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. So worship him that made all things, fountains of water, the earth, the everything, the sky, everything we see. He is creator. Worship him. Don't worship Satan. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So Babylon is going to fall, and that's when Satan, in the middle of the tribulation, is going to move into Jerusalem. That's when he's going to defile the throne of God. He's going to sacrifice a pig. And the third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast of his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. That's the mountain burning in the lower right-hand corner. Drink of the wrath of God. There's the cup. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor white nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. So here's the smoke coming up, the fire burning, and the smoke coming up of those being tormented and God judging. Okay, we're at verse 14, right? 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth ye saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and his hand a sharp sickle. So there he is, a sharp sickle in his hand, right here. Over here there's another one with a sharp sickle as they are harvesting the wheat and the tares. And here above on a cloud, raised up. Okay, where am I, Roger? 15. And another angel came out of the temple. What's that? Yeah, that was really good. Crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the cluster of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle unto the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the wine press, even onto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. And that is the tribute, the Armageddon, as Armageddon is fought and won as Christ returns. Let's see here, what's the next picture? Are we still? Oh, those are the last, the vials. All right, so the sickles right here, all cast into the fire. Yes. Okay, yeah. 6 furlongs, very good. Yeah, 200 miles. Yeah. And that's the last picture of the parentheses that we see. The parentheses of what is happening. Let's see here. Where are we? That's 35, 36, 37. All right. So once again, chapter 12 focuses on Satan. Chapter 13 on the Antichrist. In chapter 14 on Jesus Christ. And that's a parenthesis between the last, the seventh trumpet and going off into the next vials or bowls that are referred to in Scripture. All right, and then chapter 14, we begin with the vials. All right, any questions? I'm going so quickly, I don't know if we're going to be able to finish this or not. Complete it. But here are the vials. And the last, as God is working with Israel to get a hold of their attention. And there are many who are totally deceived into believing that Satan is the one to follow. But all these things taking place. Some, finally, God gets a hold of their attention, but others, he does not. So, chapter 16, we can go ahead and just read the first one here. Our time's almost gone. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshiped the image. So the first one, he's pouring out the wrath and all the boils and pain and anguish. Kind of also reminds us in Egypt when Moses, by the hand of God, brought all those plagues and the boils upon man and upon beast and remembering all those things. And you know, when you read the last chapter in the book of Revelation, it says if anyone take away from or add to this book, the plagues of this book will be upon them. That's quite a warning to realize, hey, you know, yes, that's very cut and dry. So let's go ahead and conclude with that. And we'll go ahead and go with the rest next Sunday. But let's look over here at my graph. I've got. Okay, yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there you go. Nice. Yes. There we go. Yep. Here, I've got a graph that shows all the different seals. Antichrist riding a white horse, the warrior with a red horse, and merchant riding a black horse with a weighing scale, and then the death riding a yellow-green horse, killing opposition. And then the great multitude slain, the sixth seal, heavens ripped, sun turning dark, moon to blood, and then the great silence, preparation for the release of another set of seven judgments. You know, so number seven, you got that great silence. And you know, Pastor, there are scholars that say that great silence is proof that there won't be any ladies in heaven. Then the trumpets over here. You got the hail and fire mixed with blood, burning mountains falling into the ocean, burning star called wormwood, the third of the fresh water bitter and destroyed. Trumpet blast strikes the heavens, a third of the sun, moon, and stars, the fourth, the fifth, the bottomless pit opens up. Smoke, demon, monsters, body like locusts, feet like a horse, and those are the ones who came to torment those that do not have the seal of God. And then we got the blast directed against the Euphrates River, and then the great voices in heaven, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord, and that's when Satan shakes his fist at God with the last hope that he's going to win. And so these are the bowls, the malignant sores that afflict man and the people of the earth, and all those terrible things taking place. And then next Sunday, we'll look at the oceans becoming blood and the fresh water becoming blood, the scorching heat afflicting the earth, and then the sea of darkness surrounds the throne of Antichrist, and then Euphrates River dries up, and then the widespread destruction, lightning, thunder, and earthquakes, and 100-pound hailstones. Could you imagine that? 100 pounds falling on man. And so that is God working with the world. And you know, one thing to say is this: I am glad I'm not going to be here. We're going to be gone. And God is working with Israel. God is working with his people, his chosen people, and trying to get a hold of their attention. And many from all tribes and nations are going to believe on him. What a study, a powerful study of how God is going to work and how it's all going to finish. So next Sunday, we will finish those vials and go on, hopefully, to the end and make a good closing as we close off the finish of our study. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God today, the hope that we have in Christ, that yes, that Jesus Christ one day is going to return, that the church is going to be gone. And we look forward to that day. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Use this study to motivate us to see that, yes, you are in control, that you are going to do exactly what you say you're going to do. The book of Revelation is the inspired word of God, and these things as prophecy are going to take place. They are going to happen. And certainly we can see in the world around us just how they can, just how this world is following the wickedness and seeing what is right is wrong, and what is wrong is right, and we can certainly see it in the world around us. Help us to be a light as long as we are here to a world that's lost and dying in sin, that we could share with them the gospel, the truth of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, you are dismissed. Go get a drink. Go get a drink, but don't go anywhere. There's still more to come.